this morning. You know, there's two people I want to lift up in here quickly. And the first one is our boy up on the computer up here, Carlos.
Yes, sir.
Kirk right there with them. You guys put so much work into Sundays, getting the presentation ready, the sound set. Thank you guys so much for your hard work. And the other person is our boy, Chuck. Chuck, you're up here announcing, man. Chuck, it's a lot to get through. Great job with the announcements. It's a lot to get through with the announcements. And there's one more thing to mention, and that's that this Sunday and next Sunday, we're collecting supplies for a backpack drive. And so there's going to be school supplies being donated to kids who need that. And so today and next Sunday, if you can bring any school supplies and bring them up front, then those will be taken and donated to kids who need school supplies. Amen?
Amen.
So, we just sang this amazing song called Power. And, you know, it's very fitting as the title of my sermon this morning is The Power to Overcome. We need power to overcome. How many of you have had to overcome something this summer? Right? Most of us. All of us. And I'm not talking about stuff like overcoming the frustration of your favorite show not being recorded. Or overcoming the temptation or the challenge of having to choose between a burger or a hot dog, and I'm not just going ahead for both of those. You know, I was faced with that recently, and it was a win-win because Bobby said he'd split the hot dog with me. So we each had a burger and then we split the hot dog. Or overcoming this morning, I had some challenges to overcome. Of my son dragging me outside at 7 this morning to push him on the swing and go on the trampoline. So I was out there this morning at 7 o'clock, pushing Bradley on the swing, jumping on the trampoline. That took some overcoming right there. Now, I'm not talking about overcoming that stuff, but the power to overcome. Jesus gives us the power to overcome stuff like real life hardship, trials, health challenges, disappointment, sin in our life, or the temptation to sin. And what's amazing is that with Jesus, we have the power to overcome those things. In John chapter 16, verse 33, one of my favorite passages, Jesus says, "In this world, you will have trouble." Unfortunately, there's not a period right there. But in this world, we will have trouble. We do live in a fallen world. You know, nature is out of whack, right? And so there's trouble because of storms and nature. There's sin in the world. We live in a fallen world because of sin. There's death. There's Satan. There's so much challenges that go on in the world that we live in. Jesus was right in saying, in this world, you will have trouble. And that's true for everyone who lives in this world. But Jesus goes on to say, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You know, he's definitely the only person that can confidently say that on their own. Right? Jesus says, take heart, I have overcome the world. Right? Have any of us gotten to a place yet where we can say, look, I've overcome the world. This is never a hardship again. You know, Jesus has overcome the trouble of this world. And what's great is we as disciples, we've got Jesus with us. And so even though we have trouble in this world, we also have the overcomer in this world with us. And so instead of being overcome by the world, with Jesus, we could be overcomers as well. Amen. We have the power to overcome in Jesus. Yeah. So open up to Luke chapter 8. As I said, the title of my lesson is Power to Overcome. And so when we're going through difficulty in life or dealing with sin or whatever it is, Jesus has the power for us to overcome. And we're going to look at a story in Luke chapter 8 where Jesus helps the disciples to overcome a challenging situation. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. And my one and only point this morning on the power to overcome is that Jesus is in your storm.
All
right. And that's my one main point this morning. You have the power to overcome because Jesus is in your storm. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up,
and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Isn't this an amazing story of Jesus? You know, I want to point out some different things here. First, Jesus takes them into the boat, onto the sea, knowing that the storm was going to come.
Right.
He's God. He knows everything. He's best weatherman ever, right? And so he takes them into the boat, onto the sea, knowing that the storm was going to come. And then not only that, he falls asleep knowing the storm will come. So why does he do this? Why does Jesus take them out in a boat on a sea and fall asleep knowing that a storm is going to come? And there's probably a handful of reasons he did this. First, was to test their faith. Right. And not just to test their faith, but to increase their faith.
Right.
That they could go through the situation and have their faith tested and see what their faith really was, but also to increase it. And to show them how much more they could believe in him than they even thought.
Right.
Another reason why is to teach them something. Right? Everything we go through, there's opportunity to learn from it. To look back and go, wow, what was God trying to teach me? What can I learn from this situation?
Right.
And a third reason is because they have somewhere to go. It might be as simple as that. As Jesus had an itinerary, there was somewhere to get to, and they had to get in the boat and sail across the sea to get there. Sometimes you might just have to drive in a storm or bad weather. You shouldn't. Avoid it at all costs, but sometimes you just got to do it.
Yep.
You know, I grew up way out in West Jersey in Warren County in Hope, New Jersey, and the weather, whatever's going on here, it's going on worse out there typically. And I went to County College of Morris in Morris County, not Warren County. And I remember one morning I had a final and they didn't cancel class and there was a lot of snow going on outside. And I either was going to miss my final or I had to drive through the storm to get to my final. And so after a long time out pushing my car, swerving around, trying to drive through the one field instead of my driveway, I made it to my final. But the point was that even though it was storming out, there was something really important that I had to get to. And so Jesus goes through this to test and increase their faith, to teach them, and likely too because there was just somewhere that they had to be. And so the storm comes. And what do we see? We see Jesus is calm. The storm comes and Jesus is calm. He's calm enough even to sleep. But the disciples are in a panic. They're in frenzy. They're frantic. They're in a panic. And Jesus is calm. And so why isn't Jesus afraid? Why is Jesus calm? I think the only reasonable explanation is that Jesus was calm because Jesus knew that he was in the boat. And Jesus knew that he had the power to calm the storm or to get them through the storm. And so Jesus isn't afraid. Jesus is calm because Jesus knows that Jesus has got the power.
Right.
And that Jesus can overcome the storm. And so then why are they afraid? Why are we afraid when we go through storms? You know, a lot of the reason why we're afraid is we forget who Jesus is. We forget how powerful he is. We forget that he's in the boat with us. Our faith isn't set on who Jesus really is and the power he has and that he's with us. We get distracted, just like when Peter was walking on the water and then he got distracted by the winds and the waves. We get distracted by the storm and forget that Jesus is in the storm with us.
Yeah.
And so when you're going through something difficult, maybe it's right now, maybe it's this week, sometime this year, or it will happen this year. When you're going through something difficult, how do you handle it? With faith or with fear? In faith or in frenzy? You know, sometimes in the storms, we're either fearful or we just get into a frenzy. And you can imagine them running around this boat, buckets, trying to, you know, fix it quick, and then waking up Jesus, and they're just in a frantic mess. And sometimes when we go through challenging situations, that's where we're at. You know, it might be a tough work or school situation. Finances. Unanswered questions about your future. You know, if you're single and you're maybe the storm is things with that brother or sister that you're interested in and it's not quite working out the way you hoped. You know, maybe it's It's issues in your job or in your family. Intense temptation or poor health. Or you're trying to reach out to somebody and it's just not going well. Whatever the storm is, when the storm comes, where is your faith?
Amen.
That's what Jesus is asking, is where is your faith? Some things here I want to talk about. You know, I think that the testing of our faith is not for Jesus to see or for God to see, it's for us to see.
Right.
You know, God knows exactly where our faith is at.
Right.
We don't quite know where our faith is at. You know, the testing, the storms, it reveals, it shows us, it's a test for us to see where we're at. Mm-hmm. And I think these trials that we go through are where our faith is tested, but also where it's proven to be true or not.
Yes.
In 1 Peter chapter 1, there's a great passage, we'll come back to the Luke story, but in 1 Peter chapter 1, there's a great passage about our faith being tested and being refined. I think that these storms we go through, it's where our faith is proven true, but it's also where our focus is refined. Where the focus of our faith, because the storms can distract us from God and from remembering that we have an eternity in heaven with God that we're going to be in one day. And these trials can help us to refine, to prove our faith, and to refocus our faith. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to go ahead and read this whole paragraph here, verses 3 to 9.
Yeah.
Listen along to this. It's an amazing passage. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." You know, there's a lot of amazing stuff written here that I would encourage you to study out and think through. But it tells us a lot of things about going through challenges. It encourages us to remember that the hope, that the living hope that we're living for, is stored up for us in heaven. And going through a trial can help refocus us on what are we really living for?
Yep, sure.
A comfortable life here or an eternal life in heaven?
Come on.
Right. In trials, it gets us, it can wake us up to, man, what are you living for? And to remind us that our comfort, our eternity, is with God in heaven, not here.
Amen.
You know, it proves our faith, this passage says. And so we may think we have faith, but when we go through a trial, it really proves where our faith is. You know, the fire of trial, it refines our faith.
Yes.
It helps our faith become genuine, true, real. And not just something we talk about, but something that we really live out.
Yes.
And have deeply rooted in us. Thank God for the trials. Because they prove our faith, they refine our faith, and remind us what we're really living for, which is the salvation of our souls. You know, a passage I've really clung to from a young Christian till now that's helped me with challenges is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13.
Come on.
This passage tells us that God does not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. Amen. And even when we are tempted, He provides a way out so that we can stand up under it. Amen. You know, this passage, we've got to hold to it because it tells us, man, whatever storm we're going through, we can get through it with God. And we're never tempted beyond what we can bear. And whatever we're going through, there's some way out. This isn't that we're never, with God, we are never in a hopeless situation. And here's the thing, is going back to the story in Luke 8. Jesus wouldn't lead them into a storm that He couldn't sail them through.
Right.
Jesus would not lead them into a storm that he could not get them through. This passage in 1 Corinthians tells us that. That promise that he'll never forsake us, but also that we'll never be in a situation beyond what we could bear, or that there's never a way out in it. That promise has helped me to have hope and to keep faith and to trust God during some of the most difficult times in my life. No challenges of health with my kids or health with my wife or different situations in life that we've gone through. These are times where you got to cling to God's promises that he can get us through the storm. Jesus can overcome the storm. And what we got to remember about Jesus when we're in the storm is, first, remember that he's there. Remember he's there. Remember that even if it seems like he's sleeping, or even if it seems like God is sleeping, we've got to remember that Jesus can overcome the storm. That there's nothing too hard, too powerful, or too crazy for God to get you through. You know, in this passage, we learn Jesus even has power over nature. And that's a lot more amazing than we give it credit for, I think. You know, I read this book, That You May Believe, by Dr. John Oakes, a teacher in the church in California. And he broke down this story of all of the stuff going on the scientific nature side of things for Jesus to stop the storm. Like, a storm is not just suddenly happening. It's like days of different wind currents and all sorts of precipitation going on for a storm to happen in a certain place. And Jesus had to have power over so much more than I could wrap my mind around in order to stop a storm,
right?
To change wind patterns, to stop rain, all of this different stuff going on. The point is, Jesus has got a whole lot more power than we often give him credit for. Jesus has got the power to overcome our storms. And here's another thing I think we can learn from this, is that Jesus overcoming, or having the power to overcome, may mean getting us through the storm, not stopping the storm.
Right.
You know, this is, you know, looking into this passage, you know, were they lacking, he says, where is your faith? Were they lacking faith that he could calm the storm? Or were they lacking faith that he could get them through the storm? And it might be both. You know, but man, Jesus, can you calm the storm? Great, he can. Or is it faith, Jesus, even if this storm goes all the way through and isn't stopped, do we believe Jesus can get us through the storm?
Right.
The whole thing. You know, did Jesus get on the boat intending on a storm coming and then being woken up and calming it? Or was his hope and intention that they would have the faith that they wouldn't even need to wake him up because they believed that he could get them through it anyway?
Come on, Rob.
And so sometimes we need faith that Jesus can calm or stop the storm, but other times the storm might not stop. And what we need is faith that God can still get us through to the end of it.
Right.
Sometimes we may need to see the storm through. You know, God answers a lot of prayers, and some prayers don't get answered the way that we want them to.
Yeah.
Some storms don't stop as soon as we want them to.
Right.
And there might be a whole lot more in our faith and in our walk with God that God's trying to get down to with us. I think it might actually even take greater faith to get through the storm than to have the storm stopped.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's even a more hope, man, Jesus, can you stop the storm? Jesus, can you help me see through the storm?
Yeah.
And it takes a whole lot more faith to do the latter one. And that's where Jesus is calling us in our faith. And I think a lot of times in difficulty, I know I do this, we often pray for the pain to end rather than to pray for the strength to see it through. And I don't think it's wrong to pray for prevention or for God to end different suffering. I pray it. But also pray, God, even if you don't stop it, help me to get through this.
Yes.
And help me learn from this what you want me to. And that our faith is open to that. And our faith is willing to go down that road if that's where Jesus is wanting to take us.
Yes.
And the truth is, we're here as disciples. We're trying to be more like Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Man, God, I want to be as much like Jesus. He must become greater. I must become less. I want to know Christ more and more.
Right.
And how does that happen without suffering? How does that happen without seeing a storm through? If every storm is prevented or every storm is stopped halfway, we won't become as much like Jesus as possible.
Right.
And so, you know, we need the storms. We've got to see the storms through sometimes to become like Jesus as much as we possibly can. You know, Jesus started this out. The first thing he said in Luke 8 was, let's go to the other side. Right? Jesus didn't say, let's go out on the lake and sail around. He said, let's go to the other side. And I think they forgot that Jesus said, we're going to the other side.
Come on.
And this is really remembering Jesus' words and clinging to his promises. If they had sat around and said, wait, guys, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Jesus has got power over death, hell, and the grave. We've seen him do a whole lot of stuff. We've got to remember, guys, let's not wake him up. He said we're going to the other side. Let's chill out. Let's relax. Maybe let's take a nap with him. The storm will pass. He said we're going to the other side. You know, Jesus gave them a lot of reason to calm down and to have faith that he could actually get them through the storm. And this is where we've really got to hold to the word of God. Hold to God's promises when we're going through the storm. The promise of heaven. The promise of growing through things. The promise of Jesus being with us always, no matter what. All right? The promise of anything is possible for him who believes. We've got to hold on to God's promises. Hold on to his word. You know, I like to say, too, that I think sometimes the storm that needs to be calmed is ourselves. You know, I've seen this. As we're going through something and we're praying for Jesus to calm that storm, or maybe first the storm that needs to be calmed is you. The storm that needs to be calmed is me. You know, we've got to calm down ourselves sometimes. In Psalm 131, so I think that shows our faith. Are we in frenzy or are we faithful? In Psalm 131, David writes, my heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Kind of like Bella talked about with Job, we don't always understand exactly why we're going through what we're going through. Listen to what David writes next. But I have calmed and quieted myself. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, or people of God, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. You know, faith is what we need to stay calm during the storm. And sometimes the storm that needs to be calmed is us. And I would encourage you, when you're going through tough times, to reflect on yourself and go, man, God, help me to be like a weaned child at your side. To be held in your arms. To remember that you're like a mother hen who gathers her chick under her wings. God, help me to take a breath, to calm down, and to be faithful that you're with me.
Yeah.
And that you could get me through this. And I think a lot of times that storm that we need God's help quieting or calming is ourselves. You know, it talks here about, in another translation where it talks about the storm, it says that a squall had come up. You know, another concept of the word squall is kind of the idea of complaining or being frustrated, right? Being angry and being in a squall ourselves. You know, sometimes maybe it's not being frantic, but maybe it's being angry or complaining or having a bad attitude as we go through a storm or a tough time.
Come on, Rob.
And storms can expose our attitude. And our faith and our attitude. In Philippians chapter 2, another really important key passage.
Yeah.
In Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to explain Jesus' humble, surrendered servant attitude. And then in verse 14, it says, do everything without complaining or arguing. And so, this storm of ourselves, right? Maybe it's our anger or our frustration or our complaint. That might be what God is trying to calm and quiet in us. And I would encourage you that by trusting in God, by remembering Jesus' word, by remembering the Spirit of God and the fruits of the Spirit, that even during a storm that we could stay positive. Even during a storm we could stay faithful. That we don't need to be like the disciples running around yelling, we're going to drown. Master, wake up, we're going to drown. That wasn't even true. They weren't going to drown. Right? It wasn't even true, and yet we could run around blaming God, assuming that things are going to turn out for the worse. We could run complaining, arguing, angry with God, with people, with the situation, instead of just trusting God, having an attitude like that of God, and speaking faithfully. They had an opportunity to speak really faithfully right here. They could have seen the storm, seen the waves, and said, wow, guys, look at all this. But remember, Jesus said we're going to the other side.
Yeah.
He's going to get us through this. Wow, let's brew some popcorn here. Let's sit down. Let's watch the storm. And let's watch Jesus, while asleep, get us through this. You know, they could have had that type of attitude, faithful attitude instead, and have gotten through it calm and excitedly. And so as we let Jesus calm us and watch Jesus calm the storm or get us through the storm, we can end up with this response like they had of fear and amazement. Right? And that's the response they had. It said they were filled with fear and amazement and said, "Who is this?" And understanding more and more who Jesus really was as he got them through the storm. And as we go through things, I think one of the results God is trying to get us to have is greater fear and amazement at God.
Right.
That as we go through these storms, we see, wow, even the wind and the waves obey him.
Right.
Then certainly I should obey him. You know, if Jesus could take care of this, Jesus can take care of me. And that we go through these storms, we remember Jesus is with us, it can help us grow in our fear and amazement of God.
Amen.
You know, the last thing I want to say as I close out is that these guys probably talked about this, actually they definitely talked about this story for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
You know, as Matthew and John wrote their gospel accounts, they put this story in them. You know, this became not a defeat, but one of their favorite, most amazing faith-building stories of Jesus that they have.
Yeah.
One of the greatest stories of proof of Jesus' power, of testimony to Jesus' power, and care for them and being with them. And here's the thing is, when Jesus is in your storm, Jesus is also in your story. And the story doesn't end with what your power is. The story gets to end with what Jesus' power is.
Right.
And so instead of being a disappointing story or a defeat, this became one of their most powerful, faith-building, proclamating of who Jesus was stories that they had. And so when Jesus is in our storm, we also get to have Jesus in our story. And when Jesus is in our story, the story's a lot different, isn't it? The story goes a lot better. The story includes miracles. The story includes victories. And we get to have Jesus write the story with us, not write it on our own. And so this morning I want you to reflect, how can you be more connected with Jesus during storms and handle those storms more faithfully? You know, how is Jesus calling you to remember? And not just to remember, but to rely on and to use his power as you go through storms and different situations. You know, what's amazing is that with God, most storms will end up becoming some of your best stories.
Yeah.
Some of your most faithful moments, your most growing moments.
Right.
No one encouraged us to remember that. They forgot. Let's remember Jesus' words. Remember his promises. Remember his presence. Remember his power. And let's go through these storms, not defeated, not frantic, not in a frenzy, not fearful, but faithful. Faithful that God is with us and God has the power to help us overcome this storm and make it one of our most faithful stories. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand up and sing one last song as we close out. Let's give it up for Rob again for such an encouraging message.